Wow. Hey, I'm delighted to see you this morning, and pardon our dust, but there's a lot less of it now than there was last week, but there still continues to be a little bit. But isn't that awesome? Look at all the space we have. I look at that and I think, I'm a bit intimidated by that. You know, we need like all these folks again, you know, so we're going to have plenty of room. But we welcome you this morning. Hey, did you get a chance to tell somebody that you love them and there's nothing they could do about it? Now, before you do that, you got to mean it. You know, don't put conditions on. I love you if you don't mess with me. I love you if you don't take my seat. I love you if, you know, whatever. Are you ready? Come on, get up on your feet. Go find two or three people and tell them I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. That's cool. I like it. I like it. Yeah, I like it. That's good. Yeah, it makes me love everybody. Right? Good old time religion. Hey, we're excited about all that God is doing, and I just want you to know that Pastor Tossie and Rita Wiley, stand up, you guys, if you will. Right there they are. They just got back from Uganda. They were at AfriCamp with John Melende and hundreds of people from all over the world, really, thousands. And just a dynamic time. Many of you supported them to get them there. And we were able to invest in them as a church. And this Wednesday night, man, don't miss it. They're going to tell us what happened in that AfriCamp. I don't know if you can do it in one night, but we're looking forward to it. Thank you, pastors. It's going to be awesome. How many brought a Bible to the house of God? All right, let's get into the Word of God this morning. And again, just pardon our dust. You know, they had the steps built last week, and they were wrong. The last step was 11 inches high, and code's only 7 to 8. So I came up the steps the other day. We were here working, and I tripped up the steps. My coffee went flying, and I was able to catch myself. I said, there's something wrong. So I got the tape measure. I thought, man, that dude's almost 11 inches high. I can't. So I told the gentleman. He said, well, we'll have to. I don't know what happened. I said, well, I'll tell you what happened. They didn't do it right. And so they had to tear them all out, start all over again. So we just kind of covered up the mess. Hopefully next week we'll have it. But it won't be a couple more weeks, and we'll have everything done. We got the sound panels going up. The material goes over that. We got some more to put up. We got some curtains to go around this back wall that are acoustical treatments as well. But already we can see a big difference in the sound. It's still a little echoey, but it's going to get better. Look at somebody and say, it's going to get better. Yeah, don't judge the church in its transition. I like that today, Patty, that word from the Lord. You lay down and fall asleep, and you wake up, you go, wow, we're here. That's what the Father wants to do, right? He'll take care of the drive, and you just rest in Him. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I love this chapter, and I love this verse. It's one of my life verses, and I have so many of them. But I want you to read it with me. It's there on the screen. We'll get the other one functional perhaps next week. But let's read it together. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The part of that scripture that really stands out to me and has most of my Christian life is showing forth the praises of Him who called me out of darkness. Other versions say to the praise of His excellence. Or in other words, that we would demonstrate the virtues of God in our life. And as I began to think about that, I thought, Lord, you saved me to show me off. Not only to the world, but even to myself. I want to talk this morning to a group of people who feel like they're a little bit inferior and don't deserve the blessing of God. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lie from the pit of hell. But before I go there, I got to tell you about this Sunday school teacher. She was instructing her class about all the kings of Israel, all the various queens and the rulers and the judges. And so she asked her class, she goes, look, I know that we've been talking about kings and the queens in biblical times, but there is a higher power than the kings and the queens. Who can tell me what it is? Little George sitting in the back raises his hand. He said, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. She said, okay, what's the answer? He said, well, it's not kings or queens. It's obviously aces. So I don't think he was quite getting the biblical truth of what was trying to be conveyed. And if you didn't quite get that joke, ask somebody later, all right? But I want you to see Philippians 3:14. I love this verse as well. He said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When I begin thinking about that terminology, it almost makes me want to weep. Because God did not save you or me to keep us in a low state of life. But His plan was that we would find the upward path to a higher level of living, to be seated with Christ in heavenly places and to operate on that place and on that plane, which literally changes our experience in life. But I have to tell you, from my upbringing, from the environment in which I was raised, and maybe some of even the church that I have been exposed to, I was convinced that the lot in life that I was living, as negative as it might have been, was God's will for me. Based either on my negligence or my sin, or based on the fact that God is trying and attempting to teach me something about Him. And so I just accepted that as God's will. But when I find verses like this in the Bible, it messes with my mind. When I think about pressing on to the upward call that's in Christ Jesus, I realize that God has a direction for my life. It's not a downward direction, nor is it a sideway direction, but it is a upward direction. In other words, the Bible says this, the path of the righteous is growing brighter and brighter. How? Day by day. See, I believe that God has an upward call for my life. I believe that God has an upward call for your life. And somehow we have got to disconnect from all of our environmental teaching, behavioral, learned teaching, religious teaching that has told us that we are to live under our circumstances. But I'm here this morning to tell you that Jesus Christ did not save you so that the devil can dominate you, but that He has made you and me to be more than conquerors in Christ. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. You see, you and I have to understand that all of creation is waiting for the transformation of the body of Christ. Let me show it to you. It's in Romans 8 and 19. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 19, the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing, not of the children of God, but of the sons of God. Here's what the devil wants us to do. He'll concede the fact that you got saved as long as he can keep you a child, as long as he can keep you on an immature level, as long as he can keep you at a childish state. He knows that he can execute and make decisions for you on your behalf that are not going to be in your best interest. Did you know that Galatians 4 tells us in verse 1 that even an heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave? Hear me now. Here's a child living in the house as an heir to his father's throne. But as a child, he doesn't differ from any of the slaves that work in the kitchen. Because when he stays as a child, there is a regency that makes decisions on their behalf. and they execute their decisions based on what they believe is best for the child. But the world that you and I are living in is not waiting for the revealing of children, but rather for sons and daughters of God who have matured in the Spirit of God and know how to make their own choices and decisions based on Spirit-led living. I want to introduce you to that kind of life today. I want to challenge us today to be thinking differently. It is a monumental shift in thinking. You and I must get up in the morning and believe that if God be for me, who can be against me? You and I have got to walk through the day and know that I am the favored of God. That God is so in love with me that He will move heaven and earth in order to get to me what He has promised me in the Word of God. I am not going to allow depression or low self-esteem or even the opinions of church folk or family to keep me in a low standing life, but rather I'm pressing on to the upward call. Now, there are a lot of us who I see will begin to regulate their life based on circumstances and environment. You know, this time of year, it's cold and it snows. I mean, that's just the way it is in February in Cleveland. But so many people begin to complain about it. All they talk about is how cold it is, and I'm sick of this snow, and I wish this, you know, summer would come, and I'm getting out of here for a week, I'm going to Florida. And I understand all that. But you know, sometimes when we begin to respond that way to our condition or our circumstance, it is indicative of the fact that we're living under the radar. God's called us to live above the radar. So it doesn't matter if it's snowing or if it's 85 degrees. I've got the joy of the Lord. I've got an expectation of good that's coming to me. I may have a lot of friends or I may have no friends. It doesn't matter to me because I know that my Father loves me, and I'm not going to allow the environment that I'm in, the conditions or the circumstances, to be my schoolmaster. You see, I've grown through childish ways and I'm now walking maturity as a son of God. And the reason for it is because I know that my God loves me. I just have to announce to you today, God is in love with this preacher. Come on, look over at somebody and say, God loves me. Come on, God loves me. But the cardinal mark, get this down, the cardinal mark of sonship is walking in the miraculous. Walking in the power of God. It is the cardinal mark of sonship. So if I am not walking in the authority of God in any dimension of my life, it is because I am still acting like a child. Because I am in childish ways. So I need to mature. Even Jesus in Luke 2:52 said that He grew in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and man. Jesus even had to grow through childhood into sonship. But let me tell you how He grew into sonship. Do you remember when He met John the Baptist at the Jordan River? And John identified Him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And He walked up to John and He said, John, I need you to baptize me. And John was like, I am not even worthy to untie your shoes. You've got to be kidding me. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I'm walking into sonship. And the reason why I'm about to enter into sonship is because I believe that every scripture spoken about me has to be fulfilled. So the pathway from childish ways into a standing of sonship and maturity is to allow the scripture to be fulfilled in your life. In other words, whatever God says about me, I then begin to receive that, and I come under it, and I walk in obedience to it. Jesus said, the reason why you've got to baptize me is because the Word said you were going to do it, and I've got to fulfill it. When He did that, here's what happened, ladies and gentlemen. Not until that moment when the Scripture was fulfilled over Jesus did the heavens open up and the Father say, this is my beloved child. Come on. This is my beloved kid. No, this is my beloved struggling Christian. No, this is my beloved defeated person who goes to church. No, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. From that moment, Jesus stepped out of childhood and into sonship because he applied the scripture to be fulfilled in his life. See, it's not just about being obedient. I'm going somewhere. The reason why I've got to conform to the Word of God in my life and not conform to the world that's in my life is because I plan on walking as a son. Because creation is eagerly awaiting the revealing of sons on the earth. Because the cardinal mark of a son is the power of God. And it's time for us to put away childish things and begin to walk in the miraculous power of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And Jesus, from that moment on, turned water into wine, opened up blind eyes, walked on the water, began to multiply loaves, raised up the dead. Why? Because it was the manifestation of sonship. You and I have got to allow the scripture to be fulfilled in us so that no longer will we allow ignorance and immaturity to rule our lives. For too long, Christians have been convinced that you're to be poor, that you were to be depressed, that you were to be rejected, that you were to feel like you're inferior, because God is trying to teach you something. God doesn't need to teach you something like that. So here we have Christendom designed to keep God's people immature children. So what happens? Our circumstances and our immaturity do the very thing that the child in Galatians 4 experiences. While he was a child, even though an heir, others made choices for him. In the kingdom of God, until we walk in sonship, circumstances and our immaturity will make choices for us. You think you're running your own life. No, because of our immaturity, because of our ignorance of the scripture, we're walking in childhood-like existence when we ought to be walking into sonship, and we've interpreted that as God's plan or will for our life. That is not the case at all. God is calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light that we might do what? Show forth the virtues or the characteristics of his kingdom. The world is waiting. All of creation is eagerly waiting for the sons of God to be revealed and manifest in this hour. Come on, lift a hand up to heaven and shout, I'm a son of God. You see, I'm not allowing my ignorance or immaturity to no longer decide for me and then execute that decision in my life. And I become a candidate, or I become the object of the enemy's will. I'm not allowing him to run my life. I have to go a little bit higher. I have to begin living above circumstances. I need to fulfill the scripture in my life. That's why if you're dabbling in sin, get over it. It'll keep you a child. And as a child, circumstances and your immaturity will make choices for you, and you're not going to like it. And then here's what's going to happen. You're going to get mad at God. Well, God never blesses me. God doesn't do anything for me. He does it for her, but he doesn't do it for me. He must not love me. So we have a generation of people who call upon the name of the Lord that are not convinced that God loves them with an undying, unconditional love, and nothing can change that. Jesus understood he was the beloved Son of God. And a couple of weeks ago, I shared when he went into the wilderness for 40 days and was tempted of the devil came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. He hadn't eaten for 40 days, but notice he took the scripture and twisted it. He didn't call him the beloved son. He just called him the son of God. And Jesus said, no, I will not live by bread, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You're not going to talk me into lowering my standard. I'm not leaving the high place in my existence. I understand that God loves me, and if He wants to bring me bread out of the heavens in the dew of the morning, He can do that if He wants. But I will not tempt the Lord my God, and Him only shall I worship. And the devil left him for a season. It was because he was manifesting sonship. Those circumstances didn't change his opinion of God's love for him. See, you and I need to outgrow our past. Some of us are still trying to relive the past. Pay penance for the past. I was a jerk back in 1990. And then I repeated it in 95. I was a jerk again. I was jerk two. And so now in 2013, I have to pay the penalty of all my jerk crazy relationships with others. When in fact, when you come to Christ, every jerk-like choice you made has been removed from you. And God loves you. Not based on what you did or didn't do, but based on the love of God through Christ, whose blood has washed you and cleansed you and given you a new life. You see, sonship is the backbone to the supernatural. Ladies and gentlemen, what this region is looking for is a people who know their God, love them, and based on that love, walk in maturity and say, my God will do for me everything He said He would do. Just like we got the word today of the little girl lying down in the back seat. God, you take care of the driving. You take care of the gas. You take care of paying the tolls. I'm just going to ride back here and sleep if you don't mind. Wake me up when we get there. Isn't it interesting? He had to do all the work. He had to make all the investment. We went along for the ride, and we get to enjoy the end of the trip just like He does, and He took care of all of the logistics. Quit trying to take care of the logistics in your life. Quit trying to make up time for your failures. It's already made up for with God. You and I need to let go of the church mentality that says you don't deserve God's love, you are inferior, and you are not worthy. Now let's look over at somebody and say, Christ has made you worthy. I know that that seems so simple, doesn't it? But there are still people sitting here going, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. You don't know. Okay, tell them again. Smile, though. Smile at him and say, Christ has made you worthy. Watch this now. John 1:12. Come on, say it with me. John 1:12. Put it up on the screen. This is a powerful word. This will help you. It'll set you free. Come on. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. The right is the authority. How many have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Can I see your hand? Look at all these children of God. You know what happened when you received Christ as your Savior? The Father put a son seed in you. He didn't save you so that you can continue to remain a child. He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word as a babe in Christ, that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But there comes a time when you got to put away the milk bottle. And you've got to start eating meat of the Word of God. Amen? The meat is to be able to chew on the truth that God says about me, regardless of what others say, or my condition, or my history. I've got some history in this place. Oh, if I only told you my history, I don't know if any of you'd come back next Sunday. But how many know I've already told it to Jesus? And he has taken it and ripped it out of my history book. And he has given me a new life that's in Christ Jesus. Here's what a miracle is. You might want to write this down. It's a deliberate act of God. A miracle is a deliberate act of God. And it's motivated by desperate faith of men and women. Miracles are manifest, are motivated by desperate faith. When I get up in the morning, I realize that this is not a stroll with God. A lot of people say, well, I've been walking with the Lord now for 33 years. No, you haven't been walking. You've been strolling and meandering down the pathway. What you really need to do is get into your power walk with God. Man, I got a long way to go now. Some of you need to stop strolling and start power walking. Because God wants to take you to another level. It's called the upward call. The upward call in Christ Jesus. You see, you don't have to look for a miracle. You are one. That's why the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 8 and verse 18, that the children of God are for signs and wonders and miracles. It's who we are. It's part of our DNA. You and I have got to begin thinking that my God loves me so much that even if there's a storm, I can walk on the water. Even if there's only 2 fish and 5 loaves, I can multiply it and make it feed over 12 or 15,000 people. I believe my God loves me so much that even though I see 2 blind men yelling out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," I can bring the healing power of God into their life. I know that my God will never forsake me or leave me because he loves me too much. Jesus was convinced of that. You know, I was reading this past week of the story of Jesus walking on the water. Remember that story? The disciples were in the boat and a storm arose and it was just a violent storm. And here comes Jesus because he missed the boat. Do you ever feel like God missed your boat? Do you ever feel like you're in life by yourself and Jesus can't be found? Well, the scripture says Jesus came to them walking on the water. But actually, if you read the text, it means this. Jesus was going to walk right by and get to the other side. He wasn't stopping for them. He wasn't coming to them. He was just going to walk by them and say, "See you later. I'll meet you over there." But they cried out, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" See, they were still operating like a bunch of kids in a bobbing boat. They weren't convinced that Christ loved them enough to bring them through a storm. So Jesus had to minister to them. And he yells to Peter and he said, "Come on out, Peter, and join me. Walk on this water." In other words, you have authority over this storm. I love you enough that there is no way on heaven and earth that this storm, challenge, calamity, difficulty is ever going to take you out or take you down. You see, I am with you and I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So Peter said, "Hallelujah." Boy, he threw one leg out over the side of that boat and got solid ground. He's like, "Woo, look at me." And then he started walking on the water, right? And then he looked at the waves, wasn't looking at Jesus. And he allowed circumstances as an immaturity to execute a decision for him. He lost faith and began to sink. But how many know God is good even when you lose faith? He reached down and took him by the hand. And then he got in the boat with them because he realized they still needed something extra. They still needed that manifestation in order for them to be persuaded that God loves them. Now, I want you to know that as I consider this, I think, "Lord, I don't want to be a man who lives with an inferiority complex." Have you ever felt inferior to others? No, I'm the only one. That's okay. I'm the only one. You know, it's difficult me walking into a room of people I don't know. It's like, I don't know these people. I don't know what I'm going to say. And they're all probably better than me. You know, their churches are more important and they got the bigger ministries. And I've not written books that they've written. And oh my God, I don't want to go. I think I'm just going to stay home. It's easier to retreat than it is to walk in what God's called you to because of an inferiority complex, right? So here's the story in John chapter 1, verse 19, if you could put it on the screen. Watch this. Here they are questioning John as to who he is. So they go with John chapter 1 and verse 19, and they begin to ask him, where are you from? Who are you? Verse 20, if you can get to verse 20. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. If that's what y'all thinking, I'm not Jesus. And they said, well, are you Elijah? He said, no. Are you a prophet? He said, no. Then they said to him, who are you? Who are you? And that rings in my soul. Let me ask you, who are you? Who are you, child of God? Who are you, son of God? Who are you, Christian? Who are you? Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, and you are saved by grace. But now you're more than a conqueror. Don't live beneath the radar. Understand that God has an upward call in Christ Jesus for your life and my life. Now, I know that it's not a big miracle. But if you were to turn around and look at all the yellow insulation on the back wall, I asked Jesus, I said, Lord, I want that 703 insulation in by Sunday so we have a better sound in there. They called and said, I'm sorry, it's 14 days to order that. There's no way you can get it in. I said, well, I don't really believe no way. I believe in his way. I got to believe that God has some of that stuff somewhere in Cleveland. So I began asking people, do you know about any insulation? They're calling. They're getting online. They're looking at every place. Nope, we don't carry it. Nope, it's a special order item. Nope, we don't have it. Nope, we don't have it. And then I get a phone call from Brother Mike Hall. And Mike said, you know what? I went and bought some insulation once, and I think they'll carry it. He calls there, and guess what? They had it. Now, you say, well, that's not a big deal, is it? Well, I just understand that God loves me enough that he knows how much that meant to me. And because he loves me so much, I don't know why this man stocked so much of that in his warehouse that he was not selling. And it might have been sitting there for months, but it was waiting on my phone call. Do you understand what I'm talking about? God loves you enough. He's got a warehouse somewhere with all that you need waiting on you to make the phone call. See, I've got to believe that God is for me and not against me. I'll tell you another story. I got a text message from Phil Muncy, who is Joel Osteen's second hand man or second man in charge or whatever. He said, Joel and Victoria would like for you to come to a private showing of Mark Burnett and Roma Downing's new Bible series that'll be on History Channel last Sunday night and Monday. And I thought, but he said, this is what he said, but don't tell any other preachers because we're not inviting everybody. And I thought, you mean I'm like on the list? I thought, wow. I said, Tina, we're on the list. They invited me. Now, I haven't known them very long. And when we got there, there's about 80 pastors from all over the country. And let me tell you how intimidating it is to be around pastors whose churches are 40,000 members. 20,000. 10,000. TBN programs, traveled the world, household names, and then me. Now watch. And I walked into that circumstance, and I said, God, I'm very uncomfortable with this. He said, the reason why you're uncomfortable is because you're living too low in the estimation of your life based on your circumstances and your history, and you're allowing that to choose for you and make decisions for you and execute those decisions. You know what I was going to do? Decline the offer. Because it would be easier for me not to go than to go and have to deal with all the mess inside when I have to stand before these people. So I said, I got to preach about the upward call to me. So I went down to Houston, got in, got there that morning. As soon as I walk into the sanctuary that seats 20,000 people, the assistant came over and said, Pastor Joel and Victoria would like for you to come up. They want to shake your hand and greet you. And Mark Burnett and Roma Downing would also like to meet you. Now, Roma Downing was the star with Della Reese of Touched by an Angel. Do you remember her? Okay. So I'm looking at the Touched by the Angel lady. I'm like, wow, that's the Touched by the Angel lady. I'm saying, that's her. Wow. God loves you. You know, that thing. I'm like, wow, that's the woman. So I get up there and I say hello to Joel and so on, hello to Victoria. And then I go over to Mark Burnett, I shake hands. He goes, man, where are you from? Where are you from? And I said, I'm from Cleveland. He goes, oh, man, Cleveland, the number one television market for our show called Survivor. Awesome. He said, I need to get up to Cleveland. I said, why don't you come to Cleveland? Now, if you don't know him, he has produced a show called The Apprentice. He's produced a show called Shark Tank and The Voice and Survivor. And, you know, there's about seven shows. So this man is like the number one producer in Hollywood. But he's a Christian. I mean to the bone Christian. So we watched 90 minutes of the preview of this five-part, two-hour, a Sunday night series that'll air March 3rd on History Channel. And I sat there and wept over how they captured the Bible and want to present to the generation the Spirit and the call of God through the Word of God. Not just a historical record, but to disclose the heart of God for people. I was so blessed. Well, then we went to lunch. And there was about 10 of us at each table. We're at this fancy restaurant. There were guys everywhere in gray suits, nice haircuts, putting the napkin on my lap. I said, don't you touch my lap. I'll take care of the napkin myself. Where I'm from, you don't do that. Anyway, so they're just taking care of you. They're just all over you, you know. And yes, sir, what do you like to do? Yes, sir. And I'm like, wow, where am I at? I'm used to like the deli, you know. I just want to go to a deli and get me some corned beef or something. So they come up to me and they said, look, we'd like for you to share from your table how that 90-minute clip impacted you with Mark and Roma so they can get immediate feedback and be encouraged. And they asked me to do it. And I'm sitting there with people that are very well-known and accomplished in ministry, and immediately I lost my upward call. And I said, no, I would rather have somebody else do it. And it wasn't trying to prefer, I was punking out. You follow me? Now just pray for me. But it's all right, I recovered. But wait, we punk out all the time because we don't feel as though we're worthy to walk in what God opens for us. Do you find what I'm saying? We feel like we're not worthy to have our needs met, or we're not worthy to that new house, or we're not worthy for God to give us a restored marriage, that we deserve to be pushed back or pushed down. But that is a lie from the pit of hell. So I lost there. I won by going. Then I lost at the lunch. And then we go to Joel and Victoria's house. Have you ever been to Joel and Victoria's Osteen's house? I was hanging out, you know. I show you pictures, but we weren't supposed to take any. So I'm walking around the house and going, wow, man, this is great. This is awesome. And this number two guy comes in. He goes, hey, Joel wants you to go out into the courtyard. TVN is here. And they want to do a segment with you on your reaction to this 90-minute clip. And I said, man, I thought I got under the radar at lunch. I thought, what? Yeah, he wants you to do a segment. I said, and I remembered lunch. And I struggled inside, and I said, okay. And while all these notables were standing around, I'm behind them waiting my turn. The producer comes out and calls my name. I walk through the notables, say, excuse me, and get in front of the camera. And she says, go. I had no idea what I was going to say. Hi, my name's Lou, and I just saw this clip, and it was really good. You probably ought to tune in. And I mean, I had no idea what I was going to say. When she said go, I said, bow, 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 bow. You know, I was like, I was speaking the word, man. I'm like, hey, Well, about that time, a plane came over, and she said, oh, that plane noise was too loud. She goes, stop, we got to do it again. And I said, we got to do it again. She goes, yeah, do what you just did, or say what you just said. And I said, I don't know what I said. She goes, ready? 3, 2, 1. I just saw a clip. Ladies and gentlemen, God would not have made the room for your sonship if he didn't believe you could do it. Now let me say this, and I know it's starting to get late, but hold on. God will always ask you to do something that in the natural is near impossible. Pick up thy pallet and walk. The lame man goes, yeah, right. I haven't walked my whole life. You want me to pick up a pallet and walk? Are you crazy? God always asks us to do something that is impossible in the natural, but is possible when you rely on him. We see that over and over again in Scripture. Whether it was the man with the withered hand who had to stretch it forth, whether it was Lazarus who was dead on a slab and God called him forth to come out, no matter what the circumstance, he's going to ask you that seems to be impossible from your perspective. But how many know your perspective and mine is too low? He told John, who are you? And in verse 23, I want you to get this, please. Put up John 1:23. He said, who are you? You the prophet? You Elijah? Are you the Christ? No. And then he responds, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. The next time you're faced with an impossibility, the next time you sense that you can't, you understand that God has raised you up to be a voice. And that means I say what God says. I say what he said. I repeat the revelation that he has given to me. I have to tell you, and I'm not trying to build up myself, but when I finished, the producer said, wow, that was amazing. And I said, you know, let me tell you something. That was God. Saving my one more time. Because I know me. I can't do what you just taped. What I just taped is in me. There's a God in me that will command me to do what I ordinarily cannot do. And I end up walking in a dimension that is supernatural. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Come on, church. Hallelujah. 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 I wish I could have told you I had it down. I felt confident. I wish I could have told you I didn't decline to give the summary at my table. I wish I could have told you that, but I didn't. I'm in a process, and so are you. There'll be times when you'll forget who you are. There'll be times when the enemy will convince you that you're still connected to your past. But you are not. You are not your past. You may have done what they say you've done, but you are not who they say you are. You need to begin to listen to what God says about you and realize that he has something fantastic planned for your life. You know, I think about the moment that Adam and Eve fell in the garden. They fell into a negative world. A negative world. You know, I was raised with negative family. My mom and dad were so negative. Everything was about to break. Everything was about to be lost. Somebody was about to do something nasty to you. It was going to rain on that day if we planned a picnic. I mean, it was just constant. I was taught how to expect half-filled glasses. Half empty, rather. Half empty glasses. Everything's half empty. And I thought, Lord, you know, why is this that the world teaches its people to be negative? Well, I don't think it's going to work out. Oh, they're going to laugh at me if I get up there. Oh, they really don't want me up there. They just don't really know who I am yet. When they know who I am, they won't call me back to one of these luncheons. You can come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses. Or you can do what Jesus did and go, my Father loves me so much, He sees in me things I don't even see in myself. So I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to step into sonship and walk by faith. I'm going to begin acting like He sees me. I'm going to begin talking like He sees me. I'm going to begin expecting the way God has declared that He is going to release in my life. In other words, something good is about to happen to me. Amen? So I realized in Psalm 23 in verse 5, I said, Lord, I need a scripture for this. Show me that our world is supposed to be half full and not half empty. And so I see this in verse 5. Here's what it says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Say the last part of that verse. My cup runs over. You know what that tells me? That the cup might be half full, but it's filling up. And it's not even going to fill up, it's going to run over. So no matter where I'm at in life, it's not God's will that I be half empty. It's God's will that I be half full. And He's about to pour out a blessing upon you and upon your family and upon this region that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, for those that love God. How many love God? Do you love God? I'm talking about, do you love God? Hallelujah! Do you love God? So you see, I live in a superior and positive realm. It doesn't surprise me I got invited. Now I have to be careful not get prideful. I got to remain humble. But I have to understand that what God put in me is being recognized by those around me. It's not nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with what God's done in me. So don't allow your flesh to get puffed up, but constantly point and reflect to the Son of God. But for God's grace, I would not know Him. But for God's mercy, I would not be experiencing this today. But because of grace and because of mercy, I'm going to walk in the fullness of God, and I'm not apologizing for it. Now, let me just try to conclude this little sermonette, because who you are will determine, or who you believe you are will determine where you are from. And where you are from will determine how you make choices. If I am from this world, which is full of wickedness, according to 1 John 5:4. I think it's 1 John 5:4. No. Anyway, if I still have the mentality of this world, I am attached to the wickedness of it. And when you are in under the God of this world, He carries a remote control around. And you know what He does with that? He points and clicks. And He turns a channel called depression. He turns a channel called rejection. He turns a channel called inferiority. He turns a channel called nobody wants you here anyway. He turns a channel that said you'll always be a failure, you always were a failure. He turns a channel that says you'll never succeed in business. He turns a channel and says, nobody loves you. He turns a channel constantly, 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 constantly. But here's the beauty when you and I get born again. According to John 1 and 12, if I've received Him, I had a son seed put in me. And God broke the remote. In other words, He changed the frequency of the devil. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So the devil's over there trying to point and click, and it's not working. He calls the imps out of hell, and he goes, hey, that's the remote's not working. And we change the batteries. He puts in fresh batteries. He points and clicks. And guess what? It's still not working. He goes, I can't understand this. This has worked for 60 years of his life. I don't know what happened. I think he started going to that church on the North Coast. All of a sudden now he believes he's a son of God. All of a sudden he believes he walks in the favor of God. All of a sudden he believes that God loves him and ain't nothing nobody can do about it. And now my remote won't work. I can't get him to pout. I can't get him to cry. I can't get him to worry. I can't get him to be defeated. This thing ain't working. I have to tell you, it doesn't happen overnight because it worked on me and I regret. I repented. I said, God, I'm sorry. You wanted me to talk at that restaurant. You wanted me to say what you would have put in me. But God, I didn't have anything to say. He goes, that's good. I said, no, you don't understand. I would have stood up there and went, blah, blah. He said, you really believe that? I said, yeah. That's why I didn't get up. And I deferred to someone else. He said, you have to understand that if God be for you, who can be against you? And with God, all things are possible. And you are more than a conqueror in Christ. So step into your sonship and quit whining and complaining about what you used to be. Detach from wickedness and attach to the vine. John 15:5. I'm going to close with this, I think. He said, he is the vine and we are the what? Branches. So that tells me that whatever's in the vine is in the branch, right? So understand, the power of God is in the vine. The power of God is in the branch, right? The authority of God is in the vine. The authority of God is in the branch. I have to change my thinking about who I am. I used to be connected to this world, but I've disconnected through faith in Christ, and I've attached myself into the kingdom of God, and now God wants to show forth his virtues in my life. I am now a royal priesthood. I am now a live demonstration of God's mercy and grace. So it's a constant reminding of yourself. As Paul said, don't be conformed to this world. Because salvation changed the frequency of the enemy's remote control. There are times in my life I'm so challenged I don't know how to make decisions. Have you ever been there? You don't know what to do. I think, God, I need wisdom. The Bible said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and doesn't even hold back. I said, okay, God, I got that. God, I need some authority. I need some power. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I said, God, I know that I've been preaching all my life, but I still feel powerless at times. And I feel sometimes confused. I really don't know what to do. Why isn't this working? And he took me to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthian church in chapter 1 and verse 24. This is what he said, that Christ himself is the wisdom and the power of God. Suddenly a light came on in my mind. I thought, what? Let me read that again. It tells me that Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. If that's the case, if you have Christ, you have wisdom. If you have Christ, you have the authority of God flowing through you. Now, I don't want to mess with some of us in our religious mindsets, but you're made to be more like Jesus than you really think. We ought to be operating in this world on the same level that Jesus did. You and I are to be like little Christs, walking around in our authority, commanding the supernatural, declaring God's will for a season and a time and a generation, and all of creation is going, man, I wish they'd put the rattlers and the baby bottles away. I wish they'd take the scripture and let it be fulfilled in their lives. I talked to someone this past week, and this was a tough week this week. A lot of emotional problems with families, and found myself counseling marriages and business endeavors that were crashing and just all kinds of personal challenges. And one gentleman was on the phone, and he just said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he began weeping. And I said, God, I need wisdom. I need to know what to say to him other than it's going to be okay. Because sometimes he said, well, it's going to be okay. It's like, well, it's not okay. You know, it's not enough. And the Lord gave me a revelation. It's simply this. You have not been relegated to just human life. You don't live a normal human life. You and I have been birthed into eternal life, which is above human life. Jesse Dungan, 92 years old, been in the church since it started, went to be with Jesus yesterday. And I got the word and I text back. I said, that's what we live for. And I envy him. I would much rather be with him. But while I'm here, I will walk as if I am with him. I'm not just going to heaven. I am bringing heaven to wherever I go.
Amen.
You and I have been called to show forth his praises. Don't you want to do it today?
Amen.
Don't you want to do it today? John 10:10, I give, come to give life and that more abundantly. In John 5:26, the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. You've been granted to have life in yourself. And I declare over everyone in this room today, I don't know your background, I don't know your religious upbringing, I don't know how much faith you have or don't have, but I'm going to tell you something according to God's word. That God has an eternal plan for your life, and no devil in hell can thwart it. You may have gone through trauma, circumstances, situations of rejection and hurt and pain. But you got to let go of your past and begin to process the maturation of God in your life and say, you know what, that was then and this is now. I am not what I used to be. I am not what they think about me. I'm walking in the full authority and assurance of God. And he loves me enough to find 703 insulation. I know that's silly to you, but it meant something to me. God was able. And now, I was refiguring. I was in here by myself. I was putting out the chairs and I was straightening up the aisles, and Hardy came in, and I forget who else was coming in, but I said, Hardy, we need to bring all these chairs out. Let's add all the chairs that we got. Let's put them out. Let's just put them out. And we put down about 600 chairs. And we had about 500 before, so we put about 600 down. And I said, Lord, now that's a lot of chairs. That's 100 more than what we need. And I could almost see him smiling at me and say, look, you just do what I tell you to do. Cast the net on the other side.
Yeah.
But Lord, you don't understand. It's 25 degrees out. It's cold. These people in the east, they live in the tundra. They got 18 inches of snow. They're not coming. And I came in here today and I fully expected 150 or more empty seats. And I look around and I think, where do you all come from? I mean, it's like, okay, well, we'll put out another 100 next week, you know. But it's an amazing thing that if we'll just keep doing what God wants us to do, walking by faith, not by sight, he'll do for you. So I declare supernatural results. I declare miraculous happenings. I declare and decree over your family that God is about to do quick turnarounds. I decree and declare that you are walking in the assurance of the love of God, and that you know who you are and you know who you believed in, and that you are persuaded that God is able to keep you against that day. There is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. That the devil is a liar. I declare over you that you are more than a conqueror. I declare right now you're above and not beneath, and you're the head and not the tail. I declare over every person, you are well and not sick. You have your right mind and you're not losing your mind. I declare over you that you have increase coming. I declare that your business will grow. I declare that God is going to expand your vision, and you are going to see great and mighty things from the hand of the mighty God that we serve. Hallelujah. Into Joel and Victoria's house. I'm not kidding. I had to look around and go, wow, this is big. But I had this feeling in the back of my mind, because I saw the camera out there when we pulled up. I said, God, I know you're about to make me do this, aren't you? I just knew it. I don't know what you're feeling right now, but if you're thinking that God is about to do something for you or bless you, that's not too much pizza last night. That's God setting you up. And so when they asked me, I said, okay, I can do that. Even though inside I was intimidated and fearful, I said, I don't walk by sight, but I walk by faith in the Son of God. It's no longer me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I'm disconnected from that, and I'm connected to this, and I'm going to walk in my sonship. Some of you need to do the very same thing. So put your hand on somebody's shoulder this morning and pray with me. Father, I pray in God that you would bless, that you would release them into full and total sonship, that you would release them, God, into their purpose and destiny, that they would detach from their past, and they would attach to the glory of the living God. And they would walk, oh God, in complete and total victory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Now, I hope I didn't disappoint you as this big man of faith that walked in fear at the luncheon. Everybody has those moments. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm just trying to be real. I wish I could have told you, yeah, I knew God won't do that. Wednesday night, please, if you don't normally come, make an effort to hear what God's did at Afro Camp, where thousands of people came from all over the world. I'd love for you to be here at 7 o'clock. Also, Alpha's starting up. Check it out at the table. Our relationship conference. We're not doing a marriage singles conference at a hotel this year. We wanted to do it right here so more people could come. So it's not going to cost you a lot of money. Cheryl Pruitt Salem and her husband Harry will be here. You will not believe her story. It's supernatural. This is a woman that sees into the Spirit, and she will blow your mind. It's going to be an awesome time. Friday night here, Saturday morning in Lorraine, and then Sunday in both locations. The Men's Gridiron Conference is coming up February 1st and 2nd. Guys, I'd like for you to show up, be there. I hope that you'll come. It's $25. I know that's a bit of an amount of change, but if you can make it, it's at Church on the Rise, right off Crocker on 90. Friday night at 7 o'clock, Steve Muncy will be there. They're going to actually have a live boxing ring where a former light heavyweight champion will box with somebody, not me, obviously. And just kind of carry the theme, Fit to Fight. Then Saturday morning from 8:30 till noon. So we hope that you can be a part of some of those upcoming events. But we're very thankful that you're here today. So I'm going to ask the altar ministers to come and just stand across the front. And if you're here today and you don't know the love of God on that level, in that dimension, and maybe you've been uneasy, insecure, feeling like God's not for you and that you can never rise above, that's a lie of the devil. We want to pray with you today. So before you go that way, why don't you come this way? But until we meet again, don't forget, if God calls us, I'll be on the north side. Look for the guy, the tall, blonde head. Yeah, I'm going to have blonde head when I go to heaven. I'm not going to have gray anymore. Look for me. I'll be waving at you. But love everybody. Pray hard. Live right. We'll see you then. God bless you. Be safe driving.